I'll be reading 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 18. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we also live, for we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed, and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you and into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal.
Good morning. What a great day. What a great opportunity to be together as God's people to worship him. And God is worthy of our worship. And we're in no better place than here with the Lord's people to honor him and to praise him. We're glad you're here this morning. As Joel said, he asked for a count. I don't know how many we had, but they say the preacher's count, we just round up. And there's got to be 100 kids that were here earlier, Joel. So I tell you what, we're thankful that you're here. I love this time of year, although I was never real fired up about going back to school. The part I like about us today is that people are coming back from vacation. Some of us already started school last week. Some of us will be starting school this week. And so we're together again, more of us together as the Lord's people. And so that is exciting to me, although I know sometimes kids and even as teachers and workers in the school, employees of the school, we're not always that fired up to go back to school. But what a blessing it is to be together today. I was thinking about Shay just told me just a few minutes ago that, that this is, I guess, 6 years almost to the day that we moved to Sayre. And so we can't tell you how thankful we are to be here, that you allow us to work with you. And we look forward to whatever time the Lord has for us, as long as he wants us to be together here. We look forward to that time that we have to serve the Lord together. And we thank you for allowing us to get to serve with you. But let's pray together as we begin our lesson. Heavenly Father, we come before you today and we thank you for another chance to recognize you, to remember you, to acknowledge your greatness. Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you are a powerful God and that you work in our lives. And that, Father, if we will give you our lives, live by your word, that you'll transform us into what you want us to be. Father, help us to stand firm. Help us to be faithful to you no matter what we face. And may we be reminded today as we study this passage of 2 Corinthians that, Father, we have no reason to ever give up, to ever lose heart. And we thank you for that. We love you. We know our love needs to grow, but we thank you for your patience with us. We pray the things that we say this morning are pleasing to you, the things that we should say. Father, we pray that there's anyone here today that's not a Christian, that they will recognize your love, they will believe in your truth and what you've done and in your Son, and that, Father, that they'll make that decision to give their lives to you. Help us, Father, to always be students of your word, to draw near to you. And we just pray you be with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If I told you that I knew a way that you could live life every day, and no matter what you face, you never lose heart. Would you pay attention to it? Would you listen? Would you hear me out? I think that's what we're going to be talking about today. And I think that's what Paul really, I think, reminds the Corinthians, but also as we study this passage and this text, reminds us. Because we live in a world filled with hopelessness. We live in a world filled with discouragement and defeat. But I want us to recognize that everything we face, I think obviously our Lord faced, but Paul also faced. And he faced some things that you and I have not faced and probably will never ever face. He went through a great amount of discouragement and affliction in his life. And early on in 2 Corinthians, you go back to chapter 1 in verse 8. Listen to what Paul says in chapter 1 in verse 8. "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction that we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself." Have you ever despaired of life itself? Have you ever been at that point? Maybe some of us were at that point today in our lives, or we've been at that point. You know, Paul's life, after becoming a Christian, was anything but easy. You go a little bit later in 2 Corinthians, we're not going to turn there, you don't have to read this, but some of you may remember in chapter 11, verses 23 through 29, Paul really spells out a lot of the things that he went through. He lays out a lot of the trials and the tribulations and the struggles that he faced. He was beaten several times. He was thrown in prison. He was shipwrecked. He was always in danger from even his own countrymen. But he was in danger when he was on land. He was in danger when he was at sea. He was shipwrecked. He was without food. He was without clothing at times. And he was always concerned about the church. Always concerned about the Lord's people. And in the same letter that he mentions all the things that he has had to endure, all the struggles that he's faced, the near-death experiences, Paul would say twice in the very same chapter, "We do not lose heart." And that's where we're going to focus our attention this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Because in verse 1 he makes that statement, but also in verse 16 that Monty read, in that passage he mentions that we do not lose heart. So Paul emphasizes the fact that even in the midst of trying circumstances, he doesn't give up. Did you catch what he said back in verses 8 and 9 that Monty read in chapter 4? "We're afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed." I don't know about you, but I need to hear that when I'm afflicted, if I'm afflicted in every way, that I don't have to be crushed. Don't you need to hear that? Don't we need to be reminded of that? Don't we need to be reminded that when we're perplexed, we're not driven to despair? Or when we're persecuted, in that persecution, we have an understanding that we'll never, ever be forsaken. And when we're struck down, we will not be destroyed. What Paul teaches in this chapter and in our text is what every faithful Christian has. They have it. And if you're here this morning and you don't have it, you need to understand you can have it. And that's why Jesus came to this earth and he lived a perfect life and he suffered and he died a cruel death. He was raised from the dead so that you could live this life and not ever lose heart, no matter what you face. As we move into verses 16 through 18, which will serve as our text this morning, you might say that Paul kind of explains, maybe he goes into a little more detail of why he did not lose heart, and why we don't have to lose heart. Number one is this: we don't have to lose heart when we remember that the inner man is being renewed day by day. No matter what the outward body is doing, the inner man is being renewed day by day. At the same time, Paul's outer body, his physical body, was wearing out. He could say his inner man, the spiritual man, is being renewed, and it was growing day by day. You know, as those who belong to Christ, as those who are Christians, what we suffer and what we endure, it may leave our bodies weakened, but at the same time those things are maybe weakening our physical bodies, it might very well be that those same things are strengthening us from within. They're strengthening the inner man. They're helping the inner man to grow. William Barclay says this: "No one needs fear the years, for they bring us nearer, not to death, but to God." We talk a lot about as we get older, you know, the older we get, the nearer death maybe we become, but or we get. But yet, if I'm a Christian and I'm drawing near to God, the older I get, the more I'm drawing close to Him. The nearer to God I should be coming and be getting to God. Isaiah chapter 40 in verses 30 and 31 says, "Even you shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." It's interesting that here in Isaiah that we see that even those who are young get weary. Sometimes we think of the young, and they just, you know, I think of our kids. And I say this, and you hear people say this all the time, but I wish I just had half their energy, right? And we think, you know, young people, young folks never get tired. They never get weary. But Isaiah says here, even young folks, even those that are young, get weary. They fall exhausted. "But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength." That word "wait" means to expect something with assurance. It means to expect or to look for with assurance. Strength comes when you and I are looking to the Lord. When we live in such a way that we're prepared for Jesus to return. That we're prepared for maybe when we take our last breath, but we're prepared to go be with the Lord. Prepared for His return. A few weeks ago, I guess it was a couple weeks ago, we went to the city and we spent a couple days up there. We had a couple of weddings that we went to, and on Wednesday night we went to Deer Creek and went to their Bible study. And the preacher there is Brant Stubblefield, and he had a t-shirt, and he held up that t-shirt that had been given to him, I guess, that day, and that t-shirt said, "Live your life in such a way that the preacher doesn't have to lie at your funeral." I've heard that a few times, but he kind of brought that back to memory, and it really makes you think, you know, live your life in such a way the preacher doesn't have to lie at your funeral. In other words, you be prepared when your time is up. Be prepared when Jesus comes back. I can't, as a preacher at your funeral, preach you into heaven. There's no speaker that at your funeral is going to preach you or speak you into heaven. I've got to be prepared for it. You've got to be prepared for it. And when we're prepared for it, it doesn't matter when that time comes. Live in such a way that we're expecting the Lord's return. Let me tell you something. If you are prepared for heaven, you're going to be prepared when Jesus comes back, and it won't matter what day or hour or time that He returns. We won't give up. We won't lose heart when we remember that no matter what the outer man is doing, the inner man, for a child of God, is being renewed day by day. The second thing we want to remember is that affliction is light and it's momentary. The term "light" means not burdensome. So Paul is saying, and keep in perspective Paul's situation. Paul is saying in the midst of his affliction, the things that he's endured and he's going to endure or continues to endure, and which included beatings and being put in prison, going without food, going without clothing. In the middle of all those things, what he's saying is that's bearable. It's bearable. It's something he can deal with. And it's only for a moment. It's temporary. It will not last but for a moment in comparison to eternity. Now that's hard for us to process. But when you think about in terms of eternity, the afflictions we're facing here, it's but for a moment. But not only does Paul say our affliction is something that we can bear and it's only for a moment, it's resulting in something much greater. Look at what he says in verse number 17. Light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. I think one literal version uses the term working for us an eternal weight of glory. Yes, we will be afflicted now. Yes, we will have to endure difficulties. But the future holds amazing glory. And compared to the eternal weight of glory, our affliction, it's light. It's light. Present affliction, Paul would say it's light and for the moment. Future glory, it's eternal. And it far outweighs our present affliction. I want you to turn over with me to Hebrews chapter 11. We'll come back to 2 Corinthians 4 in a moment. But Hebrews chapter 11, I want us to look at what the Hebrew writer says about Moses in verse number 26. Hebrews chapter 11 in verse number 26. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. How can you consider reproach for Christ as of greater wealth than the treasures in Egypt? Well, the Hebrew writer says, because Moses was looking to the reward. You see, when men and women of God remember the reward and they trust in God's promises, they can consider the affliction right now as being light and for the moment. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not trying to trivialize anything that any of us have gone through. But I think when we look at examples of men and women who have gone through some really difficult things, we ought to draw courage and comfort, especially in light of what Paul is saying here and with what he has been through. Even though affliction seems great, and it is at times, even though it seems heavy, and as if maybe it will not ever end, we need to do what Moses did. And we need to look to the reward. We need to look to what it lies ahead for God's people. So we don't give up when we realize affliction's light and it's momentary. Number three, we won't give up when we remember to look to the unseen. Our attention as God's people and as Christians, as disciples of Christ, cannot be focused on just the things that we see. The things we see are temporary. And I'm telling you, this is a struggle because I'm one of the world's worst, out of sight, out of mind. If I don't see it, I seem to forget it at times, many times. And so that is a constant struggle for many people. But the things we see on this earth are temporary. So I must be focused on what I can't see. Brother Wayne Jackson has said this: the unseen world is as real as the seen. The unseen world is as real as the seen, though most think little about it. Just because I don't think about it doesn't mean it's not real. And I can claim all day there's no God and we just all kind of came together by accident, but that doesn't mean that my God does not exist just because I don't want to believe it or acknowledge it. And there's a lot of things that I can't see that exist. And so I must focus on the unseen, the things of God, the things of heaven. My job, your job, it's temporary. No matter how good or bad it may be, it's temporary. Either way, we need to remember that, don't we? Your car is temporary. Your home is temporary. Your physical body. It's temporary. Every material possession that we own or that we're borrowing from God or He's loaned us, it's temporary. And if I'm consumed with making more money, if I'm consumed with having certain things, then the reality is I am consumed with things that are going to soon be gone. They're here for only a moment. And they provide me no lasting fulfillment or benefit. Turn over to 1 Timothy for a moment. Paul writes to Timothy, and in 1 Timothy chapter 6, notice what he writes to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and look with me at verses 9 through 10. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. So when a person is focused on what they can see, and they become consumed with things like making money or having more material possessions or just getting rich, they will end up destroying themselves. Many will wander from the faith, Paul tells Timothy here, and bring unnecessary trouble and even destruction on themselves. It's not that money's the root of all kinds of evil. It's the love of money, and it's being consumed with those things. God's people can do a lot of wonderful things with the possessions He's blessed them with money that He blesses them with. But it's becoming consumed with those things and being so focused on what we can see that we lose sight of what really matters, and that's the unseen, the things of God. We find the opposite of that, of being consumed with the worldly possessions, with those that the Hebrew writer describes back in Hebrews chapter 11. We looked at verse 26. We mentioned Moses a little bit earlier. But if you turn back to Hebrews chapter 11 and just back up a few verses, look at verse number 16. And notice what the Hebrew writer says here. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared them a city. Those men and women of faith could endure whatever they faced. They could endure whatever present trouble or trials that they endured or they had to go through, because they desired something better. They desired a better country. And it wasn't just a better country, but the Hebrew writer says it was a heavenly country. What do we desire? That's a good question. Do we desire a better country? I'm not talking about another nation, physical nation other than the United States, but do we desire a heavenly country, a heavenly place? See, they were focused on the unseen and not the seen. And Paul, at the end of our text in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, says the things that are seen are transient. They come and they go. They're temporary. But the things that are unseen, those things are eternal. And none of the things that you and I have on this earth that many times we can place so much of a priority on, none of those things are going to exist in eternity. If I want to make sure that I don't lose heart, that I don't give up in this life, I need to keep my eyes on the unseen. Maybe one of the biggest things that we face is that we forget we're not home yet. You do realize that, right? Man, not if we're God's people, we're not home yet. We're passing through. Sometimes we think this place is home. Sometimes, you know, we get up in the morning and you know, we're starting school, so we're all going to get in a routine. We get up, get the kids up, we get them to school, we go to work, we go to lunch, go home or pick up the kids, go home from work, eat supper, go to a ball game, watch a movie, whatever we do, go to the store, and we get in a routine. We do these things every day, and sometimes we do all these things, and we stop and we think about all these things that we do. Not that they're bad. We need to do a lot of those things. But yet many of the things that we do on a constant basis, on a regular basis, have no bearing on our true home, if I'm a Christian. Maybe if I'm discouraged in this life, and I feel like I'm about to lose heart or I'm giving up, maybe it's because I'm living this life on this earth like it's my home. Maybe I'm not looking to that heavenly home. Paul gives us some important insight into what kept him from giving up. He knew that his inner man was being renewed day by day. He knew that his affliction, and it was great in comparison maybe to some of our affliction. But he knew that his affliction was light and momentary. And he knew that he had to look to the unseen. The last passage I want us to think about as we close this morning is found in Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. And I want us to read verses 1 through 4. And I want you to really think about as we read this. Number one, if you're a Christian, I want you to really consider what you're thinking on a day-to-day basis. Day in and day out, what kind of things are you dwelling on? Are you thinking about heavenly things? And then I want you to think about, are you looking forward to what is your future? And if you're not a Christian, I want you to read this with us and think about what God wants for you and why Christ died for you. So the hope that you could have is so that you could live this life in a certain way that you have great hope no matter what you face. Starting in verse 1, Colossians chapter 3. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. See, the disciple of Christ, who's living as a stranger on this earth, has a completely different perspective on this earth and also a completely different perspective about our future. Corrie ten Boom, who helped many Jews escape the Holocaust back in World War II, she once said this: look around and be distressed. Look inside and be depressed. Look at Jesus and be at rest. Christians are no different than anyone else. We're going to get knocked down. But a Christian will never get knocked out. Christians are just like everyone else. Christians are going to fall. But Christians will always rise up. They won't stay down. Christians are like everyone else. We're going to be beaten at times. But we're never defeated. And Christians are like everyone else. We're going to lose a battle. But if we remain faithful, there's no way we can ever lose the war. There is no reason for any of us to ever lose heart, to ever give up on this earth, no matter what we face. When we live on this earth as people in a foreign land who are waiting to go to our true home, trusting in a Savior who's faithful, who's given himself, his body and his blood to provide that home. When we trust in him, and we live each day trusting in him, then even in much affliction, we can say just like Paul, we do not lose heart. Maybe you're here this morning and you're looking for hope. You have it. You have a Savior that offers it. It's just a matter of if we're willing to receive it, if we really believe it. And if you believe it, are you willing to repent of your sins, be baptized into Christ, to die to self and allow Christ to live in you and to walk by faith through this life in him as we look ahead to when he returns? Maybe you need to do that this morning. Maybe you need prayers. We can help you this morning anyway. Please come as we stand, as we sing.